Hello, everyone. I'm Alicia Swami. I'm here with my co-host Keely Severson, Eric Johnson. Oh, and we have Nico there. Hey, Nico, how you doing? And this is Exposing Mold. Today, we are talking about some interesting new information, new insights, stuff that Eric has been knowing for a while now, but we're actually ready to release it. And I'd love for Eric to just take the floor and tell us more about why he thinks mold is a growing problem.
Well, it started for me in 1964 when my family moved into an old hotel up on Sonora Pass. And this was a historic stagecoach stop on the Bridgeport Toll Road. Really neat old building. And we took over and were running this hotel and needed to get more refrigeration for the kitchen. And we cut through the back wall and all these newspapers spilled out. We were going to build a walk-in refrigerator, and so we just needed to cut a doorway. And no sooner did we cut through this wall when all these just old, funky newspapers fell out all over the place. And we thought, wow, these are really old. They've got historic value. In any case, it'd be neat to read like 100-year-old newspapers. So we spread them out. And we couldn't read them. They were covered with black mold. And I immediately got sick, just horribly, violently ill. Nosebleeds, headaches, rashes, could barely stagger up to my bed, pass out for a day or so. This mold had such a horrible effect on me. Obviously, it made an impression. And that's why from that moment on, 1964, I was always on the lookout for mold and what it was doing to me. And of course, out in nature, there's plenty of mold. Mold grows all over the place in many different colors and variants. And it just never had that kind of effect on me. So I thought, surely there's something in the newspapers that makes this mold different. Could be the ink, the paper itself. Though that didn't seem likely because bark is very similar to paper. So I kind of focused in on the chemicals in the ink and the fact that ink itself is of carbon ultrafine particles. So this idea was rolling around through my whole mold journey. And it seemed to me that if mold was producing a more powerful toxin from something that had been introduced within the last 100 years, a whole bunch of newspapers and magazines and garbage that would have these inks and chemicals on them, that this would constitute a new kind of pollution, a new exposure, something that you wouldn't know about, that Mark Twain wouldn't necessarily have seen, that wouldn't exist in history. So that's why I call it a new form of pollution, and propose the possibility that mold is actually doing something a little different than it used to. Not necessarily that mold is producing completely new and unique mycotoxins, but that in addition to its normal toxins, it's also degrading these chemicals and putting them into the air. So throughout my mold journey, as I saw sick buildings emerge, it seemed that it was the same kind of thing, that it was something inside buildings that was making people violently ill, that was definitely not a natural mold.
What do you mean by not a natural mold?
By natural, I mean something that would be growing on normal organic materials out in nature and producing the same kind of mycotoxins we would customarily expect. Like, you notice when people talk about the mycotoxins that mold produces, they say these are the mycotoxins that this species has always produced. And my first thought is, okay, well, then you're not looking at the real problem because this didn't used to make people sick. And if you look in any sick building, it seems to be mold feeding on something that it did not have access to in nature. So this is a new kind of pollution, a new kind of mold. Whatever it's doing, it's not something that our ancestors had any familiarity with. And of course, the rejoinder to that is, well, mold is in the Bible. Well, they talked about red and green mold in the Bible, not black mold. So if black molds are particularly good at chewing up and spitting out something like ink and chemicals, this is not your Bible mold. And even then, they say plaster, the whitewash and plaster has too much acidity to sustain mold growth. So if you want to make something mold resistant, you would use plaster. And yet here they're saying, well, mold is growing on plaster in the Bible. So if the mold that we're concerned about now can be stopped by plaster, it might not be exactly the same situation as what was, whatever was going on 2,000 years ago. So that's why I refer to this as something new and something that we need to approach as a problem that isn't identical to anything that we saw in the past and was not normally known from natural molds growing in a purely pristine, low chemical, no pollution environment.
Eric, I remember you at one point saying mold is just doing what it's always done, but maybe modern pollution has given it ingredients to do it differently. And maybe that's why mold is changing. Do you think that's a good way to describe it?
Yeah. And my whole family got sick from mold. We were all showing symptoms, nosebleeds and veins standing out, blinding headaches. We all got sick in slightly different ways, but it was definitely affecting all of us. And my mother acquired a really peculiar quirk of being able to stop a wristwatch. She would magnetize it. She could buy a new wristwatch and within weeks shut it down and the watch wouldn't move. And she went through a succession of watches and magnetized all of them. So I'm going, that's peculiar. What kind of magnetizing effect would occur in the presence of our inhaling mold, exuding it in our sweat? You know, what's going on here? And we had a really peculiar situation across the street from this hotel with a transformer on a power line that was getting ready to give up. And it was sparking like crazy. Put on quite the show. We used to sit on the deck of this hotel at night and enjoy the fireworks of this light show from the sparks off this telephone pole. It never did blow up. I don't know what finally happened to that, but the time I was there for a couple of years, it just sparked a lot and it was interesting. And one effect is when I was walking down that road, when I got close to that pole, it became almost impossible for me to walk. My nervous system almost seemed like it was short-circuited. I would walk like a zombie. I'd start staggering. I could not walk like a normal person. And if I just got further away from this pole, I could walk normally. And I was fascinated by this so much so that I made many, many repeated trips doing my best to overcome this neurological effect of being unable to walk by this zapping pole. And I know a lot of the proponents of electromagnetic energy is zapping out the nervous system. They'd go, oh, well, that's what it was. It was the direct effect of this discharge of electricity in that zone that was affecting your nervous system. And I'm going, okay, but why am I not affected so long as I'm out of mold? If I was anywhere else, like during the summer, if I spent a lot of time outside and I would recover from the winter's exposure of being trapped in that moldy hotel too long, that effect would go away. So it was something about being exposed to the mold that set me up for electrohypersensitivity. And since I was fascinated by this at such a young age, and I knew that I was reacting to mold, I could go into moldy environments and ask people if they had ever magnetized a watch or if they were affected by static zaps, static electricity, or if their nervous system seemed to be shorted out by electromagnetic fields by electricity. And over again, I saw the same pattern. Yet I was one of the only people that I ever saw who made the connection that it was inside a moldy environment, particularly the black mold, that set me up for electrohypersensitivity. And that's one of the things that I wanted to pursue later when sick building syndrome emerged. And then I had large groups of people being reported on in the news, and some of them were within driving distance of me. And I could talk to the people and I could accompany them in and out of various exposures and compare my response to what they were talking about and get more clues about whatever was going on. So that's all I wanted to do, is explore the connection of the black mold growing on something unusual like chemicals and ink, and see what relationship this had to illness, to nosebleeds, to rashes, to chronic fatigue, to chronic illnesses, and to electrohypersensitivity.
Do you think a lot of the people who are currently experiencing electromagnetic hypersensitivity are, is it because, in your opinion, they're exposed to mold?
Absolutely.
Do you think that's how that starts? And then maybe even if they leave mold, if they don't know how contamination works, they kind of can't get clear, and then it's like an ongoing problem for them.
Right, and because it doesn't go away instantly, the moment they think that they've left mold, they conclude that it must be the electric field itself, and they get their monitors, and they're always trying to avoid these dirty electricity. All the areas where they think that these electrical fields might be affecting them. And I think they're probably right to a certain extent. But without the context of getting ill in a black mold environment, they don't make the connection that maybe it's the mold that affected their nervous system and set them up for it, and that extreme avoidance might enable them to detox to a degree where they're no longer susceptible to electromagnetic fields. But
your charged particle observation doesn't just apply to people who are EMF sensitive. It could apply to other people who have seemingly other immune system failures, like in CFS, where that was essentially just immune failure, confused for reactivated EBV.
Yeah, I think that the excitation of the particles by the electric field captures the immune system's attention, which is a diversion from what the immune system would normally be doing. So you have unrestrained viruses. I mean, that's what we see in chronic fatigue syndrome and the EBV syndrome, is a failure of the immune system to properly clear viruses. Well, maybe it's busy doing something else. Maybe it's not so much a fact of another pathogen that's engaging the immune system, is that simply a new kind of pollution has emerged that is diverting our immune system attention from what it would normally be doing. And then now it's trying to focus on dealing with something extremely unfamiliar.
What are some of the biggest clues, in your opinion, that somebody is dealing with mold illness or is experiencing this charged particle illness that you observe?
I think just the fact that it's happening and it shows up in sick buildings are our biggest pointers to look in that direction. But like I say, unless you've got a framework for all this co-occurring, unless you've had some experience of how this all goes together by getting sick in a building with black mold and then deliberately moving yourself closer to and then away from electromagnetic fields, you really don't have a framework for making that connection. So it's just the few of us who've become aware of it and done proximity experiments that have the ability to even point to this clue and claim that it might be connected.
I think we should wrap up there. Do you guys think?
Sure.
Or do you have something for closing? I just feel like leaving people wanting more is a good place to stop.
Yeah, and I'm starting to ramble anyway.
All right. So you heard it. There's some interesting information that we have. Eric is calling it the charged particle observation. We are holding a webinar on Thursday at 5:15 Pacific Standard Time to go further in detail into this observation. If you'd like to know more about what's going on with your illness and why you can't seem to figure out what the heck is going on, because everyone has all this conflicting information, this may bring some clarity to you to help you actually understand. This will be one of many webinars that we have coming up. We will do further discussions in our membership group. And we just want to shout out IntelliGuard. Thank you so much for sponsoring us. We are so happy to have you as a sponsored, as a corporate sponsor. And thank you so much for your generous donation. It is helping us continuing on to provide free webinars and other free information. So thanks again, everyone. We'll see you next time.
We want to thank you for listening. Just sending a friendly reminder that what we say is not intended as medical advice, but information to expand your thinking surrounding common situations and issues within the mold community. If you like what we do, please support us by making a donation in the link in our show notes. We also provide one-on-one consultations, products to help with symptom management that you can find in our shop, and a private membership group filled with a supportive community of peers working together to heal from toxic mold. As a friendly reminder, Exposing Mold is a 501c3 nonprofit, and every donation is tax deductible. Thank you so much for your support, and we look forward to providing you with the most honest information out there on mold and mold issues. Please visit exposingmold.org for more information.